Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, we begin our program with devotion, song, scripture, and prayer. We'll have song by Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart, and then we'll have scripture with Dr. James Nooks, and Dr. Susie, myself, will offer the prayer. Join us.
My hope and dream are fading.
Our scripture lesson for tonight is Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, and I'm going to read it from the Message. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, but well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. God, rid of it. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. What this adds up to, then, is this. No more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other, after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. God has the blessing of the reading and doing and hearing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Lord, we come before you and we ask a special blessing tonight. We, your people, are approaching your throne. We want to hear a word from you. And Lord, as we listen for that word, as we listen to hear your voice in the midst of our Bible study, we ask that you help us communicate, Lord, what a neighborhood is. What is the type of neighborhood you want us to have? What kind of community do you want us to be? And Lord, we're asking this, that you would lead God and direct Dr. Nooks as he's trying to teach us an understanding of your plan for our neighborhood. We're asking, oh God, that you help us understand how to fight the fight for our neighborhood, how to be strong and how to stand in the midst of adversity and challenge. But we just ask these special blessings tonight as we go forth and we study your word. We ask this now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as we go into the Bible study, we, again, just want to do some basic Bible study information and etiquette. Whenever you're on the Bible study line, we ask that you put your phone on mute because we can hear the background noise and things rustling and papers or movement. We can hear all that. So we ask that you put your phone on mute until you get ready to talk. And then at that point, when you're ready to talk, that you would take it off of mute. Dr. Nooks is our instructor for this evening, and so we're asking that as we go forward in our study, that if there are other people who call in, that you would make sure that you do not use a speakerphone, because that causes backfeed in the studio if you want to dialogue and to share. We also are asking that that you not forget, when you want to talk, that you take the phone off of mute, because oftentimes we think we're talking and we may not hear you. So just get clarity by introducing your name so that we can make sure we hear who is addressing the group. And again, we're glad that you're with us this evening. We're excited to get the dialogue. Remember that there are people here who have differing opinions. We don't all think the same, but we all have an opinion, and we came to reason together and to solicit the understanding of our Lord and Savior. So as we go forward tonight, we're going to ask Dr. Nooks, if you are ready to lead the class, ready, then let's go.
Amen. Who do we have on the line? Let's do a little roll call here. I know Dr. Sinsey is on the line. Who else do we have on the line? I know I heard another voice, but there may be people on the line.
They may not want to talk tonight.
My name is Terry.
That's fine. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm well.
And Terry, just to share a little bit of how we operate, feel free to talk when you want. And we have many people who are on the line who don't say anything at all. But if you have questions, jump in there, share whatever you'd like, ask whatever you like, because that's why we're here. And understand that there are a variety of us from different denominations that come on and off the phone. So we ask that you read the Bible for yourself, and we will clarify what, the perspective is of the teachers, even because we may disagree, but we all come to reason and to dialogue.
Okay, so when I'm not going to say anything, just mute it, put mute back on until I want to ask or say something.
When you get ready to talk. There you go. You got it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Amen. Well, we're talking about battling for our communities. We've been having a discussion about, putting on the armor of God, and we talked last month about battling for our spouses and our significant others. It is my contention and belief, and I believe God's word says it too, that we are under attack. And in Ephesians 6:12, we find that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So that's Ephesians 6:12. And we believe also that Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and that's in 1 Peter 5:8. So Satan knows what to do, and Satan messes with our minds. He messes with our loved ones. He messes with our spirit. Messes with our bodies and influences things that cause us to perhaps turn from God. And we're in a battle right now, so we are reminded to put on the whole armor of God. And so we want to talk about communities tonight. And I believe that Satan is attacking our communities. And a community can be a gathering of people. It can be a neighborhood. It can be the church universal. And I believe Satan is definitely attacking the church. The churches are dwindling in attendance. Many people don't see that need in going to church anymore. Many of them find the church hypocritical. They don't find that they get anything from it. And so they turn to TV, or sometimes they'll go leave the churches that they once attended, and they'll go to some non-denominational mega church. I mean, then sometimes they'll just stay home. And so I believe our communities, and also our communities, I believe, are divided. and I think more so now than they have been in a long time. It's hard for people to come together because of so much division in our country. And I believe that this is not an accident. And I believe that Satan is enjoying the division because of the division causes us to be weakened. And we just want to talk about communities tonight and understanding God's plan for communities. And that's why I read the text earlier, Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, because it talks about God's plan for what God wants us to do as communities. But we have other scriptures that we want to refer to also, but we want to reread that and we want to discuss Ephesians 4, 17. But I'd like to start the discussion out with, by just asking the question, what do you consider a good community to be? What do you consider a good community to be? What kind of elements should a good community have?
Well, this is Dr. Susie, and the first thing that I think that a good community should have is that it's willing to be the voice of the people. It's willing to be that vehicle of support for the people.
Okay. And Terry or anyone else, did you want to contribute any thoughts to what you felt a good community would have in it?
And Dr. Nooks, I text you that information.
My name is Terry, and I would say for myself, I would think a good community would be, you know, that, you know, the community would help one another if they see there's a need or if someone needs some sort of assistance, like the elderly at the grocery store or, you know, maybe helping someone if they in need of help, like an elderly person to their car with groceries or putting their cart away for them if they just left it somewhere, you know, and no such aspects of a community instead of being impatient and, you know, not rushing someone who isn't able to move fast enough for someone else, perhaps, maybe.
Amen. Thank you. So what kind of community do we think that God wants us to have? And I think that gets to what the text that I just read, and we're going to reread it again. But if you want to contribute to that, Dr. Susie or someone else, that's fine, and we're going to begin our discussion about the text.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Brett.
Hey, Brett. How you doing?
Doing great. Sorry I haven't been here for the last couple of weeks. I've been at VA and physical therapy. But anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm dealing with getting my hip to be more flexible. So I've had some issues with that. But with the text tonight, I think that we need to be looking at what God is wanting our communities to have is the same thing that he asks each and every individual to have. But when you come with a community, it should be a collective group that are on the same one accord as you would be individually, which gives you more strength and more power. Also, in communities, you got to have somebody that's going to be a leader. And everybody can't be a leader. Because I remember back when I was coming up, my house and two other houses on our block, and I'm talking about on our side of the street and across the street, if somebody needed something, they needed to come to our house. We had plenty of dry goods, and my mother used to can stuff. So we had like tomatoes and green beans, corn, stuff like that already canned. For people to get food, somebody else had clothing, and in our community, if you needed something, somebody had something for you. And I think that's what God is asking us to do today, is that we have to love one another. If you're going to love one another, you're going to take care of one another. There can't be a division. It can't be what one family has and the other family don't have anything. Everybody should have the same thing. But that's just my perspective.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brad. So I'd like for us to get to our text tonight, Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. And I can reread that again, and I think it's read better in the message, but if somebody has it in NIV or King James, if you want to read it, that's fine too.
Ephesians 4, 17?
17 through 30, 17 through 32.
Okay, do you have any preference? Would you like it NLT or anything in particular?
I liked it in the message, but that's what I just read. So if you want to read it.
But you already read that one, right?
Right, so you can read it in another version, another translation.
Okay, I'll read it in the New Living Translation.
Okay.
It says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher," and this is Luke, right? I'm sorry.
No, it's Ephesians.
Yeah, my text changed when I switched to the NLT. Ephesians 4,
yeah.
I'm sorry, 17 through 25.
That's all right.
17 through 32.
Through 32. Okay, here it goes. Here we are. Now we're there. With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They want far life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and you've heard the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy, and stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. We are all parts of the same body, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Well, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold for the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good and hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abrasive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, my sisters and brothers, I think this, I guess, gives a picture of what God wants communities to be. And there are other scriptures that we want to share if we have time. But I wanted to talk about some of the things that are pointed out in this text and as to what it is God wants from us. God says that we ought to turn from the way we used to do things and walk in a new way. But I'd like to hear from you all, and you're sharing with others that might be listening in. What is it that jumps out at you in this text about the kind of community that God wants us to have.
Well, this is Dr. Susie. I'm just excited about this, Dr. Nutt, because the first thing that jumped out at me was we're not supposed to live the way we naturally would. That our way is different from God's way. That's what jumps out at me, because it says, it's funny because he's talking to, I think Ephesians is Paul, and he's talking, Paul who's a Jew, just talking about Jews, and we're Gentiles. We're Gentiles. And he says, live no longer as Gentiles do. Wow. And he talks about, so the way we would normally live, we can't do that. We can't operate in self. We can't operate in our own methodologies of living. We have to find God's way. We got to seek what God's way is, because we know one thing about it. It's different from our way, and that's real clear in the scripture. Our way is full of darkness. God's way is full of light. Our way has hardened hearts. God's way has open hearts. That the lady sang about in the beginning. So it's a big distinguishing difference, and it shouldn't be difficult for us to know, this feels like I'm living in self or in my way and not living like God would have me live. And I think that's a big piece of what is jumping out at me right now.
Amen. And I just wanted to point out in the message, the translation, instead of using Gentiles, they said, don't go along with the crowd, the empty-minded crowd. So I think Paul is trying to say here to the Ephesians, don't go along with the folks that you used to go along with the crowd, as far as the Gentiles are concerned, because the Ephesians were Gentiles, just as we are Gentiles, but we are a part of the body of Christ. Now we were grafted in, you know, so we're part of the body of Christ, those that believe in Christ.
So the crowd would still mean, though, Dr. Nix, that's not God's way. It's the way of the world. It's the way of the world.
Amen.
And the way of the world is not the way of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is Brett.
Yes, Brett.
I think the 17th... 17th, 18th, and the 19th verse, when we start here, it sets the tone of everything that is happening in today's world. And the problem is that when it talks about ignorance, today we have a society that's full of ignorance, because you have kids that don't even listen to their parents. They get out here and get it. And get themselves into trouble, and then eventually wind up being shot or stabbed or something just because they didn't listen to anybody. And the other part of it is that the hardening of the heart. You tell somebody that you shouldn't be doing this, they're going to get more angry and go ahead and do it anyway. There's people out here today, you tell them not to do that. And a prime example, a friend of mine has a niece. We told her, stay in the yard, and she just goes out on the sidewalk and goes to run out in the street to get a ball, and just so happens we saw a car. We said, get out of the street, and my buddy went out there and grabbed her real fast. She almost got hit by a car, but that was because she was hard-headed. She did what she wanted to do, and when I saw that, I thought about how many people just don't listen to anybody. You got girlfriends and even wives that don't want to listen to their husbands, and husbands or boyfriends that don't want to listen to their wives or girlfriends. When somebody else can see something that you can't, because you're so busy doing something else you shouldn't be doing. And that's the way the world is today, and that's what God is saying. He doesn't want us to do, because we have been taught better than that.
We should have been taught better than that, yeah.
Right. So
if we learn Christ.
There you go. There you go. Amen to that.
Yeah, he says in the 20th verse, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. So, you know.
There you go.
Just like Dr. Susie and you were saying, you know, this is a different way of life that God doesn't want us to have and doesn't want communities to have. And
right.
I like that the 19th verse to start of it says, having lost all sensitivity. And we have become people that just don't care. I mean, we don't care. And that's sad. I mean, somebody can be stabbed right in front of us and we walk by on the other side, which gets to, you know, our foundational text, which is about the Good Samaritan. The man was beaten at left half dead on the road, and that's in the story, the parable that Jesus was telling.
There
and the church
go.
Folks walked by on the other side. They didn't want to be bothered. They didn't want to, perhaps they were afraid. But we don't care, and we should care. It ought to make a difference to us if we're God's people. So I wanted to point that out.
Yeah, Dr. Nook, something else I wanted to say about this, too, is that a lot of times people don't really understand what it is that is happening to us in today's society. And you asked a few minutes ago what has caused us to be like we are today, and a lot of this started, well, if I'm not mistaken, it started back when Martin Luther King and Operation Breadbasket and all that was prominent in the black community, simply because the federal government had to find a way to break up the homes, because once you get us divided, then we can't stand together anymore. And that's what has happened to society.
Yeah, and there is an effort to divide homes. And after slavery, there was something called the Faustian effect. And it was a law passed that put the head of the household in the charge of the male, black, in the black household, when the woman had been the head of the household all along, and it caused division between the men and the women in the black household. So that, again, I think Amen. There's carryover to that today, but I think that was something that Satan did also. And you find effects like this all over the place where you have division in communities, division in homes, division in schools, division all over the place. And God doesn't want that division. He wants us to come together. And I'd just like to go down
Amen.
To the 25th verse, 25 through 28. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. And we're talking about neighbors here in community. But we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil
Amen.
A foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no more, no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So, I mean, there are many messages in here. In that text.
Amen.
But stop lying. There is so much lying going on in our country right now, and that gives Satan a foothold. And I think that's really significant, that when we lie all the time, lie to each other, not all the time, but lie often, that brings separation in the community. And we're also told not to be angry, or don't let our anger cause us to let Satan get a foothold in our lives. Because when we're angry, and I don't know about you all, but maybe you can testify to it, but when we get angry, sometimes we lose our reasoning, and we just want to get revenge. We want to stop people from hurting us. I mean, whatever it is. But it's hard. I think it's hard for God to work in us when we stay angry, and so we need to really work on that. And that's something that's very hard
Amen.
For us to deal with. And many people don't want. They feel comfortable being angry. And they feel good. You know, I'm angry. I've been angry at you for 20 years, and I just feel good about it. You know, and that's sad. What do you all think about that?
I think this is Dr. Susie, Dr. Nux, and I think in the cases where people hold on to the anger, it's because it protects them. they think it protects them. And there's some people, not all people, some people feel that angry prevents them from getting hurt by that individual or those individuals. I mean, there's different ways that people see that. So I'm not supporting the anger. I'm not saying it's good to hold on to the anger. I'm saying all bitterness stuff should be let go and given to God. But I'm saying the reason why I perceive that some people do hold on to it is because of that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's look at verse 29 through 32 again and see what jumps out at us in that section of the text. So again, remembering this is about understanding what God wants in our communities. And it says here in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Dr. Susie, do you have that in front of you? Read it in the translation you had there, 29 to 32.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Where you were minister, where it says, but that isn't what you learned about Christ? Since you've heard about Jesus?
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth.
Okay. It says, the New Living Translation, Dr. Nooks, is not numbered. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So that's why I was asking. It says, stop telling lies. I think that's where it starts. Right after put on your new nature. Let me just read this for you. Since you haven't heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature. Come on, listen to this. Created to be like God. So that's a key thing. It's created to be like God. It may not always operate like God, but we have the potential, because that's how we were created, to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. And I want to say something about this piece about stop telling lies. We may not even think we're lying, but if we're not being authentic, is that the truth? Sometimes we are not authentic because we need to pretend or not be real with ourselves and other people. So it says, stop telling lies. Tell the truth. Tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Now, some of us, we get angry, and like Dr. Nooks was saying, we won't let that anger go. We hold on to it. Till Jesus come back, we're not wanting to let it go, because we think it protects us. So we got to let that go. It says, don't let anger control you. So if you're allowing anger to control you, that's simple. So the King James says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The New Living Translation says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Dr. Nooks, can we just stop right there where we're talking about how anger gives a foothold to the devil? Okay, thank you. Because I think that's important to understand. We think that anger, we don't realize that it's not okay. It's not okay to be out of control. It's not okay. The Bible says the way we know that we are God's children is what? By the love we share, how we share love, how we manifest love. And if we're angry, we're wanting to hurt people. We're wanting to, it's just the opposite of being loving, don't you think? What is everybody else on the line? What do y'all think?
Amen. Amen. It leads us away from the kind of conduct that God would have us to display, to manifest. It's
I hear
hard
you saying something over there, Britt. Go ahead. It's hard to show love when what, Dr. Nuss?
When you want to punch somebody in the face. You know, so it takes us totally out of the love realm if we stay in that anger. Now, you can be angry against sin and against the devil doing something and messing people's lives, but that's not the kind of anger that should lead us to conduct that where we want to hurt somebody, where we can no longer show love, you know. So I think that's what God meant when we find in his word, be angry but sin not. So don't let it get to the point of sinning.
Don't let it control you.
Amen.
Don't let it control you.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, this is Britt. My dad told me this a long time ago, and I've tried to let that be my guide when it comes to anger, and I think that all of us do it. Whenever somebody does us wrong, immediately we think about revenge and stuff, but if you just take a minute and ask God to help you with this, that anger goes away. But my dad used to tell the story, because back in the day, a lot of people used to go fishing, and then they come home and take a knife and scrape all the scales off of fish. This guy was preparing his fish and stuff, and the problem was is that when he went to open up the belly of the fish, it caught the fat part of his hand right where the thumb is, that little fat piece, and sliced that open. Because he was so angry because either his wife or somebody said something to him where he had to do it outside on the back porch and stuff, but he let his anger control him, and then the anger, he forgot to be cautious and split his hand open. And people do that all the time. You get angry about something, and you forget the simple things that you need to do to be in control of yourself, and something happens to you. You just can't let anger destroy you, but still let it go to God. There you go.
Amen. Amen.
Does anybody else have anything regarding that piece about anger they want to talk about? Does anybody struggle with that? We all recognize that we're all growing in that area.
Yeah, I think Satan knows what it is that makes us angry. And I believe that Satan pushes those buttons and pulls those levers to get to our anger, because he wants us to be angry. And he wants us to get so angry that we don't act like children of God. So, you know, to pulling a car out in front of you on the freeway, to saying something that ticks you off, you know, or just being rude and disrespectful, you know, whatever it is, that's what happens, you know, and we need to be strong enough in God and prayed up enough that those things don't affect us like they used to. And I think that's what the message is trying to tell us, that we need to change our ways from the way we used to act. You know, it used to be that somebody say something like that, you know, I want to pop them upside the head. But now I shouldn't want to pop them upside the head. I might be angry, but I'm not going to let that dissuade me and make me act like a child of Satan instead of a child of God. But understanding that Satan is busy, like we say, going about like a roaring lion, Satan's going to be made to devour. And that's a way that Satan devours us.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Sidney. I'd like to share a testimony. I had a mentor talk with me, and he says, one of the things you have to be careful of, because the enemy will set traps for you, is that sometimes people will specifically try to make you become angry. And the hope is that if I become the angry black woman, then all the stereotypes that people were fearful of and talked about, I would live into that, and then it would invalidate who I am. And then that would give them reason to say, we don't need to deal with her. All
right.
So sharing, that's why we always have to go the extra mile to make sure that we don't allow anger to control us, is because others would use that against us to be a vehicle of destruction.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, my name is Terry. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, my name is Terry.
Go ahead,
and, yes, I could recall, well, this is when I was younger and I was in the service, and I was angry prior to the, you know, maybe the service, but I remember being in a situation when I went to court, and I really wanted to conduct myself and behave, and you know, my anger seemed to just always get the best of me, and well, it got so bad where every time I went into the courtroom, I would not be respectful to the judge. And he threw me in jail each time for 30 days. And, I mean, they had to carry me out of there. And I didn't learn the first time they sanctioned me. And I went and did 30 days, and I came back. And, you know, I even talked to myself and said, you know, this time I'm going to just not say nothing like my lawyer said. And I went in the courtroom with all intentions of not being angry. And just for some reason, when he started saying and asking me questions, it just, like, I turned red. Like, inside, everything was like fire. And here I go again saying things that I know better than I thought I knew better. And he threw me in again, sanctioned another 30 days. And, like, after being sanctioned three times and I spent 90 days in the county, I guess that was enough for me to be humble the fourth time I came to court. And he didn't throw me in jail for a year, but I can remember going through anger management, and I thought I learned some tools. And but the whole time I kept on holding on to, like, you know, I'm going to show them, you know, that type of mentality, or thought that I was showing them or proving something to them that I'm not going to, you know, allow them to see me, you know, weak or show them up. But that was the wrong approach to, that situation. When I, you know, the first time I ever got locked up was in the military, and I never let go of, that anger I had at the time. And I know I need to, and I know I'm better than that.
That's
too.
All right.
And not because of my mother or my my father, because he didn't raise me, but just because I am a kind person. And I'm more gentle than that, in the attitude that I have. And I never really feel good. I'm actually scared to be angry because, you know, growing up when I was smaller and, like, a lot different looking in my, you know, my form and body-wise, you know, I had to protect myself because I had to get angry enough to even protect myself and fight back. And now that I'm, like, totally I think I'm in the wrong body anyway and I can't get out of it, my anger kind of was a defense. It's a different defense for me now. So it is a little different. It's kind of awkward, but I'm learning that in the scripture in Ephesians, you know, it showed me by reading it, that's not what God wants me to do and how to act. And I realized more, you know, I'm guilty of what this scripture says from 17 all the way through 32. And I do know better, but I need to practice it more. Like, I know every time I swear or I curse, I always ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry about that, Lord. I didn't mean to say that. So I try to correct myself when I am angry immediately, but I can't live like half of the world and live the other half trying to live like God. So I need to come all the way clean and practice those things more regularly, and I've been trying, but it's still a challenge every day, because this world is trying to swallow me up, I feel, because of, you know, like the people and different associations I'm trying to leave alone. It's a lot, but I don't like when I'm angry, I have to admit. My mother was an angry person, and she abused me, so in a way I felt like all these years that I have grown up, my anger just, it was locked in. I couldn't show it. I just had to take in all these people who mistreated me all my life, and I held all that anger. So I'm a grown man now, and sometimes things that people do or say, or even some of my insecurities as well, triggers my anger. Different things trigger, and that anger is so exposed. Thank God I haven't had a fight in so long. I'm thankful that I haven't put my hands on nobody either, because I don't want to, but I can see I'm afraid to anyway, but I do have to practice. Amen. I've been reading and learning more about the ways of Jesus by starting in the New Testament, and I read a chapter every day. Amen. Of the Bible now, and
Amen.
I just think I can turn it around, you know, and I am turning it around slowly, but I still have that tendency to just be angry sometimes. I just really don't like that person, you know, and...
All right.
And
we're gonna pray.
You know,
that,
I'm just admitting that. That's all.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
that. Thank you for
well, thank
me.
You. Thank you
but,
for your
but
testimony.
Terry,
yeah.
this is Dr. Susie. The word says that there will come a time, it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. The reality is we are all tossed to and fro until we grow and become mature. We are all in the process of growing to be
Amen.
What God has created each of us to be. This is a growth process. We start off as a person who is dead in Christ, who is a non-believer. We become children,
there
babies, infants, and that we crawl, and then we begin to walk, and then we become young adults, and then we become adults, and we make disciples. There is a process,
Amen.
But we are, none of us are perfect,
Amen.
And we it's not a chronological thing. We go back and forth. You know, we may reach a plateau and go, oh, we're doing really good, and boom, we'll turn around and mess up something awful. But God is faithful.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The grace and the mercy of God, every time we mess up, God's arms are
Amen.
Open wide, and we can run home to be with the Lord anytime. We can call upon him anytime.
Amen.
We can go back
yes.
because he's saying,
Amen.
I'm here. I never left you, never will, and I'm always there. And I praise God for that. I praise God for
Amen.
That.
Amen.
So don't ever think
like
that
I
anybody else mm-hmm. is any less, any better than you. We
yeah.
all fall short.
Amen.
I'm going to still work on that, but I want you to know Chaplain, I went to the barber, and I didn't cut it all off, but I did get it cut where it looked a little neater. So I mean, you know how I fought you about that one. So at least I did come around. I was so you know, I mean, I'm getting there. So that was a really, to me, a very good improvement for someone who just don't want to do nothing just to improve how he is or change, or I guess somewhat. But
That's
I think
good.
I'm just starting on the right path. Yes, thank you.
Amen. Amen. And we'll just finish
up
this
Dr. Nook, this is Dr. Susie. We brought up a really
yeah.
interesting piece tonight, and that is, you know, I'm glad that Terry brought this up, and the scripture says in the Contemporary English Version, we must stop acting like children. The reality is when
yes.
we get angry and we can't control ourselves, we're functioning like babies, and God is expecting
Amen.
More from us. And so we have to choose to grow up and to mature. We cannot be carried by the waves and blown about by every shifting wind of the teaching of people. We have
yes.
to stand
Amen.
On the word that we know. And when we forget, when we fall
Amen.
Short, pick it back, get back up again and keep rolling. Do not let the enemy lie to you, tell you things like you're not worth it. It's not you're not any good. You're not. I mean, he will tell you anything to keep you away from whatever it is God has planned for your good. What Jeremiah 29 says, I have a plan for you, a future, and a purpose to give you hope.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Let me just read 29 through 32, and Dr. Susie, we'll have a brief discussion on that, and it'll be 8 o'clock. But Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So I think that's a practical lesson in how the people in the community of God ought to act. So does anything come out at you there in that last text there? I like about building, saying things to build each other's up. Go ahead. Go ahead. Is that Brian?
That's very true. No, this is Terry. That's a very true one there,
dear.
Because I can use very, my mother had a very vicious way of speaking and putting me down most of my life, calling me names. So I definitely have to be very careful to think before I speak, and I will practice that one on a daily basis. Because I don't speak to people harshly, but I can have a harsh tongue. So I will recognize if I'm definitely not feeling nice, or I have an attitude, maybe I just won't speak at all if I'm not going to say something nice. But I don't speak harshly and tell people really bad things. But if I'm going to be working with Dr. Susie maybe in the future, I need to really practice understanding that, which I would never say anything negative to a person in need anyway. But I just need to be more comfortable with being gentler and practice that. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Dr. Susan, it's about 8 o'clock, so we can turn it over to you.
Amen. So tonight we've come kind of full circle and we've talked about neighbors, neighborhoods, how in this context God would have us operate and function. And I'd like everybody to give one thing that they got take home from tonight's Bible study. And Dr. Nooks, I'd like you to be last and to close out with an invitation response to a relationship with God. But Terry, I'd like to I want to start with Britt. Britt, can you give me one thing that, not that you want to share, but that you got from what you learned or was reminded of with what we talked about?
Not a problem. And I don't know if you can, but if you can give Terry my phone number, I'd like to have him call me so I can talk to him. One of the things that I wanted to say was my mother always told me this, and as I got married, she reminded me again about don't be angry and let the sun go down on you, because she said you don't know when God's going to call you home. And you don't want to get up to the gates and you're angry because of something that happened a few minutes ago. But the thing is that we have got to make sure that we stay on the right path for those of us that have been baptized and said that we love the Lord and we're taking him on as our Lord, personal Lord and Savior. These things that this scripture is talking about today is what we should already be practicing. If you're new in Christ,
amen,
keep in mind, you're gonna
amen,
stumble. It's like a baby trying to walk. That baby will stand up, wobble a little bit, fall down, take a couple steps, fall down again. That's what happens with Christians. You're starting on a new journey. We don't expect you to get up and walk, because if that happened to you, then it means all of us have already reached the end of the race. But we're constantly studying. We're constantly learning. We're constantly doing things to try to better our lives every day. If something angers you, ask yourself, why do I get angry so quick? And what's the purpose? What's going to happen? What can I do about it? How can I change it? You know, sometimes we have to ask ourselves these questions to find the answer, because the answer is already in us. Sometimes you just got to leave things with the Lord, because if you're a Christian, God's going to take care of it for you. He's going to take care of it. Believe me.
Amen.
It has never failed
me.
And I know Dr. Susie, Dr. Brooks, and a few others, we know the power of God and the power of prayer. God answers those. And as you get better in your walk on the Christian life, you're going to find that all this is going to come a lot easier. You're not going to worry about things of the world. You're
Praise
not going
to
worry
Lord,
about going out to the clubs or seeing a girl half naked shaking her butt and stuff. That's not going to faze you.
Amen.
God's going to bring somebody good into your life that's going to treat you to whatever it is you need to have. And you can find out that you will change when the right woman comes into your life. Just like when God comes into your life and you accept him, you're going to change. You're going to be so surprised at how things are going to be different for you. And if you walk the walk, not just talk it, but you walk the walk, you're going to find that things will be easier. People will say little things to you. Hey, it doesn't faze you. Dr. Susie knows me. I'm one of those type guys that I learned that a long time ago. So there's nothing that anybody can say that's going to get me angry, because nobody's paying my bills but me. Nobody's buying food for me but me. So if you're not doing anything to sustain my way of life, then your negative has no place in my life. And once people understand.
So thank you.
There you go.
Don't have to close. Right. So,
okay.
So, we've kind of got a dissertation from Brother Britt, but it was good. So Britt was giving us some good information tonight, but we're getting ready to close. So, one of the things that, you know, I say, you know, in response to my brother is that, you know, you don't have to wait. It's not just about what some woman, this is about a relationship with you and God. So, you know, seek God, do what you need to do in that relationship with God, which is first and foremost. Don't wait on no other person. This is you and God right now. And I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to we got lots of people out there on Radio Land. We got lots of people in the studio who just sit in and listen. And so we all of us are here talking to each other. Because this is how we grow. Brett's a perfect example. He'll share, and he's trying to share from his experience. We all have different perspectives, and the information that we give each other is very good information, because it's sometimes different from what we would think of. And with that, we take it, we receive it, we sit it before God, and we figure out, you know, is this confirmed in the Word? If it is, amen. Amen. Isn't that right, Brother Brett?
Amen.
Amen.
So Terry, what are a couple of things that you received from the Bible study tonight? Or at least one thing.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm thankful I had enough courage to call. I just got in the house, not even just 5 minutes before I decided to call. And I remembered it was Tuesday because I've been running around, but it's been a good day, a little stressful in the early part. But the other thing I got was I was honest about where I was as far as how I related to what that Ephesians scripture chapter 4, verse 17 through 32 spoke of. I didn't want to say I was a hypocrite, but I say, you know, I'm half and half there. You know, I'm battling. I mean, I'm in a battle.
You're growing. I'm growing.
Amen. And I can relate to everything it said. And at least I have a different perspective now how to approach it with, you know, continuously reading scripture like I have been.
Amen.
And practicing and have a focus like it showed me that I can focus on some of those things that God really do want to bring me up to and be living and not just, you know, resisting and thinking I can do this and half of that. I can't. I have to be all the way with it. So I'm going to do that and practice that. And I appreciate that.
Amen.
Amen.
I kept that number on the text message. That's how I knew the number to call, and I was glad. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Amen.
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 So, Dr. Nunes, did you want to close with the your last saying and then?
Well, I just wanted to point out the fact that in community we need to be helping each other. And that last part of the text talks about that, that what we do when we speak, when we work, you know, we ought to be trying to help those that can't help themselves. So the spirit of generosity and forgiveness and compassion is something that needs to be in the community. And pray that can be in all of us that are part of God. So God, we thank you for the Bible study tonight. We ask a special prayer for Terry, that you might bless him and comfort him, God, and strengthen him as he strives to do that which is in Ephesians 4:17-32. A special prayer for him, God, but a prayer for all of us to be able to do what's in Ephesians 4:17-32. For we all fall short of the glory of God. And it's just so wonderful that you are a forgiving God and you love us even in our falters. So continue to lift us up, God, and strengthen us. But we need you in a mighty way, God. We would not be able to make it without you. And God, there may be someone on the line tonight that wants to give their life to Christ, and they've been struggling, and now is the night, now is the time. And just repeat after me, God, I give my life to you. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I need Christ in my life. I believe that Jesus is your Son, and he died and rose again from the dead. I want you to come into my life and occupy me. And God, I just give my life to you. I love you. And God, I know you love me. Continue to walk with me in Jesus' name. And if you pray that with me, then you're saved. For God's sake,
Amen.
God shall be saved.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so, God, we ask a special blessing also on Dr. Susie, our leader. Continue to bless on her and bless her and strengthen her. Help us, God, as we walk, as we strive to do your will. God, we need you. And God, we ask a special prayer for our country, for our communities,
Amen.
For our churches. And we give it all over to you, God. Believe
Amen.
All things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 God, we come before you and we just thank you. And so we will gladly meet together and as we gather next week and continue our studies of community. God's blessings be with you till next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.